start rolling. Will Peterson sitting in for Brandon Stokely. We're having some fun so far and got another hour with you here today. We'll talk to Mike Kliss of 9 News in about 15 minutes. Got to remind you, if you're looking for some plans for tomorrow afternoon, really starting at 10 a.m., love to see you. Love to make your plans a part of our plans. Our plans are a party at El Patio Denver, which is right across the street from Coors Field. We're going to walk you right up to first pitch. Plus, Will and I will have a sweet, sweet prize to give away. You have to come and see us. You have to ask us how. And then maybe it's you and your crew walking away with that sweet prize. But again, you have to be at El Patio Denver to be eligible to win that. So come and see us starting at 10 a.m. The drive will be there with Zach and Phil through 6 o'clock. So come say hello and enjoy the rooftop at El Patio Denver for opening day. All right, Will, I want to talk a little bit about the Avs, and then I got some beef with Gilbert Arenas with some nonsense he was trying to spew on the internet this morning about Nikola Jokic. But let's go with the Avs first. We had a quick conversation about Gabe returning or not returning, and if he does, what would that look like? Well, our very own Mark Schlereth. How about this? Football playing Jesse that is Mark Schlereth with some hockey sources and had this to share about Gabe's possible return.
Little Birdie told me he's going to come back for the playoffs.
And
he's
what?
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Talk about burying the lead. What?
Yeah, Little Birdie told me that he is going to come back, play very limited time, but he's going to play in the playoffs.
Really? Wow. Is this the same person that told you that the Broncos were trading for Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Oh.
No, that source was more reliable
that
than this
was
one.
Oh, no. Reliable.
Yeah, that's...
Really?
That's... Yeah, now...
Does that surprise you?
It would surprise me a little bit, but, you know, if you're on the fourth line, you're getting 6 minutes.
And that's a little bit kind of what you hinted at, too, Will. Like, hey, it's not 30 minutes sitting across with Gabe and, Nate and Miko and Val and figuring out what that is going to look like and how you build the top line again. I understand that. The fans would lose their minds. I think there'd be a little extra juice there from the guys on the team. But how long? Like, does that shine wear off after his first shift? After his first game, after the first series, if they're fortunate enough to win that. How much does that provide for this Avs Cup run and then possibly hurt Gabe being a part of future Cup runs?
Yeah, first of all, what a stray by Mike on Mark.
That was good.
Is this your same Aaron Rodgers source? Oh, gosh. We just saw a man killed live on the radio.
Good on Mike for bringing it up.
Yeah. And good on Mark for, you know, joking. No, he's a good sport about it. We know he is. Stink is the best. All right, here's the thing about this scenario. That if he's a fourth-line guy who plays 6 to 8 minutes a night, and he's a big body on the power play, and he uses that tremendous hand-eye coordination in front of the net, hopefully tip in a few goals, get some garbage goals, right? Heck, what does Gabe score? Gabe scores garbage goals. He's very good at scoring those, and I say the word garbage with a lot of respect because, in all seriousness, garbage goals in hockey are what win you Stanley Cups. It's not the pretty ones that are going to win you the Cups. It's the grind them out ones. I think this will happen. I think Gabe will tell Jared Bednar and Chris McFarland and Joe Sakic, maybe this even gets to the desk of Josh Kroenke, I don't know. Hey, guys, I've got 20 games left in this knee. I've got 20 games left in this knee. When do we want to fire? When do we want to use those 20 games? I think the answer is pretty obvious to everyone involved. In a Cup run.
Yeah.
Right? Because he is not, the way he's skating right now, Josh, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Gabe, I'm not trying to be a doctor. He does not have 82 games in that knee. It's never going to happen. I mean, remember, guys, he got the cartilage transplant surgery that no hockey player has ever come back from. So I think where Stink has a source on this, I think where this is probably coming from, Gabe knows he's got very limited amount of hockey games left in that knee. So why not burn him trying to win a second Stanley Cup in 3 years? Come back out in front of 500,000 fans in downtown Denver in his Sweden flag without his shirt. Everyone swooning over Gabe, the most attractive man in Denver sports.
That's the truth.
And then he can just retire. And I don't mean that lightly because I understand retiring is tough for these guys. But if you only got 20, 25 games left in the knee, what better way? 2 Stanley Cups in 3 years, leave a champion just like Peyton Manning did, just like John Elway did.
I think that's very well said. That's always interesting to me, those behind the scenes that you're talking about, that conversation. Like, open in a real conversation about Gabe and the team. And it's like, I mean, if he's having that conversation, like, I have 20 games left. You guys owe me about 6 years worth of money, but I have 20 games left. Where's that conversation go?
True.
Right? Like, Gabe has to have that as well. I'm like, you know, I don't know Gabe as on a personal level. He seems to be a great dude and all about his family, and I'm sure the money he has in his bank account would last me a lifetime. But I don't have the same bills or whatever he's got going on. So that's also a part of the equation, Will. Just the hockey part of it, you're absolutely right. Use that 20, 25 games, whatever the window is for Gabe's knee, to go chase a Stanley Cup. I think my pushback would be, all right, you go get a couple of gritty, grindy goals. That's, of course, going to help. I'm just not sure what... I don't know. I don't know that he can even give you that. You know, he comes out and plays 8 minutes in the opening game of the Stanley Cup playoffs and then has a setback, you know, and then it's, well, maybe he's going to try for game three, or, well, it's actually the series, next series, if we get there. It's such a slippery slope, but if that's the conversation and both parties, Landeskog and his team and the Avalanche and their salary cap people are going, it's 20 games, let's go ahead and do this. Because here's what I don't want to do, and feel like it's almost inevitable, unless that's the real case. Like, are we just going to do this song and dance every year with Gabriel Landeskog the way that it has been the last few years and the way that it is with Lonzo Ball, who's dealing with the same injury on the NBA side with the Chicago Bulls? Or are we going to get a solid answer, he's going to make a push, and then we're going to know, yeah, this thing is over?
Josh, he had the knee surgery 2 years ago in 2022, the first one. He has played 20 hockey games in 2 years. Those 20 hockey games were the 20 they went 16-4 and won the 2022 Stanley Cup. So when you ask, is it going to be the same song and dance every year, I think the Avalanche at some point have to force the hand.
Oh, okay.
You have played 20 games in 2 years. If you can give us anything this cup run, give it to us now, and then maybe no one wants to use the retire word. We'll reevaluate. How's that sound, right? We don't have to make this big promise you're going to retire no matter what after this year. But at some point, if you're the Colorado Avalanche, paying this guy $16.5 million for 20 games, let's give it a shot, bro.
Yeah.
Let's just give it a shot. You're the captain. We love you. You're a leader. This whole city loves you. No one doubts any of that. But the Avs can only let it go on for so long before they say, let's see what you have, man. Let's throw you out there for 8 minutes a game and see how the knee responds.
And I think there's... That's when it becomes uncomfortable conversations, right? For the organization, knowing what Gabe has been. But it'll also be, hey... We have to worry about the window that we have in front of us right now.
Yes.
With Nathan, with KO, with Miko, with Val, maybe whoever else, you know, pops up and shines. If they're able to retain Sean Walker or Casey Middlestad, like, it's, this is it. You got to strike while the iron's hot. And if that costs you Gabe Landeskog because you can allocate those dollars somewhere else, I'm sorry, man. I care about the Stanley Cup more than I do about Gabe Landeskog as returning to the Avalanche.
It also is the tightest salary cap in sports. It's the most difficult one to navigate. And he's on the books next year for a $9 million base salary and $7 in cap. You know how much good $7 in cap would do? Especially, do remember, Miko's coming up sooner rather than later.
That's right.
You got Nathan locked down. You got Kale locked down. Miko's up the year after next. Mm-hmm. You're going to need that cash.
Texter says, if Nancy Kerrigan can come back for her knee injury, so can Gabe.
Ouch.
Maybe a bit different, but I like the idea there, 930. All right, let's take a timeout. We're going to talk to our Broncos insider from 9 News. Mike Kliss is with us next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Here we go. It's the Mike Kliss intro music. He's on his way, folks. He is with us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline right now, our Broncos insider from 9 News. Kliss, what's up, man? How you doing today?
Boy, that's a different walk-up song.
Yeah, you like that one?
I haven't got that one yet.
Well, we made an executive decision for you there that you're coming in to help close this thing out with our Broncos conversation today. We were going over your mock, Mike, that you wrote, and really good work. We loved a couple of things that you did, but what we really loved was the idea of taking a quarterback, you know, at 12, jump up, trade back, whatever it is, taking a quarterback earlier in the round, in the draft, but then also, as you had it later on with the conversation about a Michael Pratt being selected later on in this draft. Two quarterbacks in one draft. How crazy is that actually if it were to happen?
Yeah, it is. I mean, that would happen if they didn't wind up with a veteran quarterback, which I still think they're going to do. I think somehow in this draft, what's going to happen is, you know, you've got six quarterbacks that are going to go first or second round. And I think what's going to happen is, you know, someone's going to trade back late into that first round and get the six quarterback, you know, which might be Penix. I'm putting him sixth just because of the injury. Mm-hmm. Not his skill set or ability to pass or whether he's the best quarterback or sixth best quarterback. Injury is where I think people are going to be hesitant. Although the Raiders, everything I'm hearing is the Raiders love him and they have the 13th pick. But anyway, after, you know, all those teams get their quarterback and there'll be a couple more quarterbacks that fall in the third and fourth and fifth rounds, then teams are going to shake loose, you know, some veterans or make a couple veterans available. You know, like I keep thinking the Jets are probably holding out. From what I hear, they're holding out to try to get more than they're going to get for Zach Wilson. And they're hoping that a team doesn't get a quarterback and gets a little desperate and they'll give up an extra round, you know. But other teams that might want to take a flyer on Zach Wilson, and you would be taking a flyer if you got him, you know, don't want to give up much more than a sixth or seventh round draft pick for him. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos make that type of trade. Not necessarily Zach Wilson. There'll be others out there. A veteran quarterback that they can get via trade, you know, maybe for a seventh round, even one of those type of trades where it's conditional. You know, if he starts 10 games, then it's a sixth pick. If he doesn't start 10 games, then it's a seventh round pick, something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos wind up with something like that. But, you know, if they don't, yeah. And Sean Payton, and it's all about Sean Payton, who he likes. I wouldn't be surprised if he likes one of those top six. And maybe the back end type of top six where he can get them at number 12. And maybe he likes, like last year, you heard that he really liked Aiden O'Connell as a fifth round guy. And the Raiders took him in the fourth round. So we'll never know if he would have taken O'Connell in the fifth. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's another quarterback like that, Jordan Brooks or Michael Pratt in the later rounds also.
Hey, Mike, Will Peterson here. Good to chat with you, my friend. Let's talk about the trade-up scenario. You mentioned in your article maybe going up to, say, 7 or 9 with Tennessee or Chicago. But what about going big? What about swinging really big? How realistic is it? I know Sean Payton used that word down in Orlando last week. How realistic is it the Denver Broncos get to number 4 with the Arizona Cardinals and potentially get their guy there?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I would say it's unlikely given the Broncos are thin at the top end of the draft again for a third straight year. You know, I don't know how much Sean Payton is invested in the fact that the Broncos didn't have a first-round pick, they traded away 3 firsts and 3 seconds the last 2 years. And they're still paying with a second-round pick this year for him, Sean Payton trade.
I think, Mike, he would say that's not my hump. That's a speculation, though.
yeah, exactly. And so, Sean Payton strikes me as a guy who will try to take a couple swings and make a couple offers. I first of all would be very surprised if Washington trades out of 2. New England possibly might trade out of 3, but Drake May, to me, I mean, Drake May definitely belongs in that upper 3, not the middle 3 of these quarterbacks. And New England needs a quarterback. So I think New England takes Drake May, and so I don't think that big swing up is likely. You know, if Drake May falls to number 4, I guess that's possible right there. But other than that, I think you're more apt to try to out-duel the Vikings and the Raiders. You know, let's say your guy is J.J. McCarthy, which a lot of people think. You know, who's going to go get J.J. McCarthy, the Vikings, the Broncos, or the Raiders? They're 11, 12, and 13. And if J.J. McCarthy's your guy, then, you know, you get up to that 7-9 range and see if you can do it and get your guy. If indeed J.J. McCarthy's the guy, I'm not sure about that. Bo Nix makes sense for the Broncos and Sean Payton. Penix does too, but that, you know, the thing about Penix is he may be the best for the next couple of years, but will he be there in year 3 and 4 given his injury history?
We're talking to Mike Kliss. He is with us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Mike, it feels like it's quarterback or trade back. Well, what do you think the chances are that it's something else? Will and I were wondering what the reaction would be if it's a defensive player selected at number 12 overall. Is it quarterback or move back, or is there still potential of a non-quarterback being selected right there at number 12?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if at 12 the Broncos take anyone other than a quarterback.
Okay.
A trade back, I mentioned in the mock, you know, the 18 to 24 area. Mm-hmm. A trade back, I can see a defensive player there. You know, an edge rusher would make some sense. Possibly a cornerback, a defensive lineman. They need a stud to go opposite of Josh Allen. You know, somebody's going to fall in that first round, and that's when a lot of maneuvering occurs. You don't know who's going to fall. But to me, trading back and, you know, like trading back and taking Bo Nix sounds like the perfect scenario for the Broncos, given their situation. Because, first of all, Bo Nix would probably be there if you trade back. And then two, you need draft picks. You know, you need a second. You need an extra third. You get 2/3, you can maneuver and get back into the second round. That's what makes sense to me for the Broncos. Because they have many needs, not just a quarterback need. They need a tight end. I think they need a rusher. You know, maybe a bell cow type rusher who can catch the ball out of the backfield. They need a corner, possibly. I don't think it's as big a priority as people think because of Riley Moss and Damari Mathis. I mean, he did draft those guys, and Riley Moss is supposed to be starting in year 2 as a third-round draft pick, especially after you gave up a third-round draft pick from this year's draft to get him. So, yeah, high hopes for him, and it's not just special teams. And then, but, you know, you need a defensive lineman, inside linebacker. Cody Barton, that's a Band-Aid. That's a stopgap there at inside linebacker. There's needs up and down that roster. And so the trade back and picking up a day 2 pick, it seems to me like what the Broncos should do. I'm not saying I have any intel on that, but to me, that's what they should do, given they, you know, I think they got some holes throughout the roster.
Mike, last one for you. If you could make it quicker, do you think George Payton is in trouble after the NFL draft, or will he be the GM through the 2024 season? It seems like people have a variety of opinions on how safe George Payton's job is.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything that he's in trouble. I know what Greg Penner thinks about him and Sean Payton thinks about him. And Greg Penner likes the way George works with Sean Payton, who's not an easy guy to work with. I think George is back. Probably has to win in 2024, though. It has to show that the arrow is pointing up. I would say it is pointing up now because they had a 3-3 win improvement. Mm-hmm. But somehow, even if you don't have a 3-win improvement in 2024, you got to make it look like this team's going the right direction.
Mike, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you making time for us every single Thursday, and we'll be looking forward to chatting with you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Kliss on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Follow him on Twitter at MikeKliss9News. All right, let's react to a couple things he had to say in that quarterback front, in the veteran quarterback front that he mentioned as far as adding before we get through the NFL draft. Plus, I still want to react to something Gilbert Arenas said, spewing a bunch of nonsense about the MVP, Nikola Jokic. We're going to do both of those things next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Full of cash, just seen a big old... Oh, that's Luda. What you know about Luda, Chris, Will?
You were giving Kevin Kisner some flack, so he hit you back with some ludicrous.
Nice there, Kev. Well, Luda and T-Pain are going to be at Cheyenne Frontier Days on Thursday, July 25th. All this week, three times a day, you're getting chances to win a pair of tickets to that show. Listen to The Fan with us here, Stoke and Josh. We'll sit in for Stoke today. The Drive with Zach and Phil, and they got a chance for you to win a pair of tickets to see Ludacris at Cheyenne Frontier Days on July 25th. Let's give a pair away right now. Caller number 4 at 303-713-1043 is going to get that pair of tickets. It's a race to the hotline. 303-713-1043. Caller number 4 is going to get that pair of tickets to go see Luda and T-Pain at Cheyenne Frontier Days on Thursday, July 25th. Good luck out there.
Oh, I wish I could win this.
This is a nice one, right?
This is amazing.
I actually told Stoke, that's actually my birthday.
Nice.
That day, and I'm going to turn 40, and yeah. I said, hey, get us all tickets. We'll go together.
I would love to go see Ludacris and T-Pain. Talk about bringing me back, man.
I actually saw T-Pain in Vegas a couple of years ago at the Lovers and Friends.
Nice. Festival,
and Luda. Actually, I saw both, and it was awesome.
Yeah, those phone lines are lighting up. I am jealous of our winner.
There you go. So if you're looking for a plus one, Will Peterson is on board with you right there. All right, Will, let's react to a couple things that Mike said, then I want to make fun of Gilbert Arenas. We wondered about the quarterbacks and the multiple quarterbacks being selected as Mike's mock suggested. Mm-hmm. One early, and then a Michael Pratt type, Spencer Rattler type, a little bit later on in the draft. So he added another layer to that, another caveat, if you will, that happens if the Broncos don't find a way to add a veteran quarterback before the draft is all said and done. He mentioned Zach Wilson as a trade candidate. Maybe somebody gets cut early on in this process. And then really, your actual options are trade for Zach Wilson or go get Ryan Tannehill, who I call Tyron Ranahill, because he's not worthy of being called his real name. And I'm not really into that. I would prefer, this is me speaking here, for myself only, I'd actually prefer two rookie quarterbacks over a Zach Wilson or a Ryan Tannehill being added to this quarterback room, because that does absolutely nothing for me or the future of this team.
Yeah, it's interesting Mike brings up the veteran thing, because we've been talking about that for a month. Let's say there was 20 veteran possibilities. 18 of them are gone. So how much longer are we going to keep saying, well, they could get a veteran? Yeah. Everyone's gone. Everyone's found a new home. All those guys are off the board. Mariota, Brissett, Darnold, the list goes on and on. Yeah, Zach Wilson does absolutely nothing for me, and neither does Ryan Tannehill. So, yes, I would prefer take a quarterback in the first round and then take a quarterback in the fifth. I understand that feels like a desperate measure. Taking two quarterbacks in one draft is very rare for an NFL team. But the Broncos quarterback room is so barren that it needs to be restocked not once but twice. I wouldn't hate it picking two QBs in the draft. And it sounds like, again, if they don't get that elusive veteran that they haven't gotten for a month, they may be considering that option.
Well, I mean, what would you prefer? Wouldn't you rather just...
Two rooks. Yeah. For sure. I've seen enough from Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Seen enough from Ryan Tannehill. Neither of those guys are hoisting Lombardi one day.
No.
You got bad news. You're not going to feel the chill of that trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Russ wants to feel that chill.
That was such a cringy line.
Yeah, want to feel the chill of that trophy.
Yeah.
How many times
you rehearsed that before he actually said it?
Several.
Yeah.
I'm sure the trophy is kind of cold. And he grabbed it in New York the one time he won it. I was there that night. It was getting pretty cold toward the end of the night. I'm sure the trophy was chilly after he beat the Broncos in 48. But, yeah, I think that was a really interesting takeaway with Mike, along with a couple other things.
I could be a jerk here for a second. Let me be that jerk. Yeah, I guess last year when I was holding up the Larry O'Brien trophy, there was a little chill to it.
Oh, hey-o. Got your hands on that bad boy. That's pretty cool.
That's like a lifetime achievement award.
No doubt.
All right, so... It's just an interesting conversation. Broncos country, what would you feel about drafting two rookies? And if that's the case, if it's you're going to get two rookies, dependent on whether or not you've added a Russell, or not a Russell, a Zach Wilson or a Ryan Tannehill. Well, why do you even need that veteran presence inside of the quarterback room? Tell us how you feel at 303-713-1043. That is the RamosLaw.com text line. He also mentioned Jordan Brooks, who I've kind of completely forgot about, right, because of the big injury. And it was, I mean, Will, you were a part of those conversations and writing about the stuff of Florida State getting jobbed by the College Football Playoff Committee because Jordan went down, even though they were undefeated and from a Power 5 conference. I don't know if everybody's afraid of Michael Penix Jr.'s injury. Does the injury to Jordan Brooks, as late as it was in the season, turn fans off and media teams because of that?
Yeah, it's another flyer, right? And so maybe if that is going to be your second quarterback option, then you take a look at him moving forward. You're right. FSU, heck, they got kicked out of the playoff because of that injury. Yeah. They didn't make the 4-team playoff, and it became a big controversy because they weren't going to have him on the field. So I think worth exploring as well. Can I give you my two big takeaways
please,
from Mike?
Please.
First of all, he killed my dreams with both. Hey, yeah, Mike,
did.
Are the Broncos traded up to 4 with the Cardinals? Nope, can't get up to 4. Don't have the draft capital. Maybe a baby trade. Maybe Sean Payton will try to swing big, but not happening. All right, cool. Buzzkill. Hey, Mike, are the Broncos going to fire George Payton? Nope. George Payton is safe. Greg Penner likes George Payton. And maybe the line of the interview, Josh. Sean Payton's really hard to work with. And George does a good job of that. Wow.
Yeah.
So we're now saying that George has a job still, despite trading for Russell Wilson, hiring Nathaniel Hackett, and extending Russell Wilson, three of the worst moves in NFL history. George has a job still because he can put up with Sean Payton's ego.
Yep.
That coming from Mikey right. Just made both of us chuckle.
Right when he said it, I couldn't help but I didn't want to like disrespect him, but I'm like, wait, that's how this works here. It truly is who you know, not what you know, and who can you put up with, or maybe who can put up with you, and that keeps old Georgie around for at least another year, according to one Mike Kliss. All right, our final segment, we're going to wrap this thing up, put a big bow on it, get you ready for the Ball Arena Bros and what they have in front of them tonight with the Wolves and with the Clippers on the Nuggets end. But before we get there, let's get to our buddy Shannon Sharp's podcast, where Gilbert Arenas was a guest and really showed the world how little he knows about the game of basketball. We'll show you and let you hear next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Oh, say the sky made a perfect sunset, and that's a day I'll never forget. I had a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. She was killing me in that mini skirt. Skipping rocks on the river by the railroad tracks.
A little Tim McGraw for you, Will. Gonna be in town this evening.
I know this one.
You do?
Yeah.
Kev, you going tonight?
I don't think so.
What?
I'm passing this one up.
You're Mr. Country Concert guy.
My legs hurt. My back hurts. I performed on Saturday, so I need a bye week.
Yeah.
This one's about the barbecue stain on the white t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Actually, this one rips. I'm down with this. I can't believe you're not going.
Yeah, I've seen him before, and I'm like, nah. Okay.
Where's he playing?
Ball Arena.
Okay.
Hey, the night's still young, so
That's right. He's going to get a text. Somebody just heard he's not going. Somebody's going to text him and offer him to go.
Yeah.
And then he's going.
I'm going to call Zach Bye's guy.
That's right. Zach gets it everywhere, man. Wherever Zach wants to be, Zach will be. Zach and Phil coming up in just a couple of minutes. They'll take over at 2 o'clock and then get you home. A couple of quick texts before we get to Gilbert Arenas. We were talking about taking two quarterbacks, Will, in this draft for the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bacon of Westy is how they have identified themselves. Appreciate you, Mr. Bacon of Westy, and I like Westy. Says, yeah, the last two times in recent draft history, we've seen the Commanders take RG3 and Cousins. The 49ers took Lance and Purdy. Both saw the top pick not work out, and the later round guy shine. Pick two guys, and maybe the Broncos hit the line.
Wow, that's great research from Mr. Bacon, and he's right. You know, RG3, through no fault of his own, just the body didn't hold up, and Kirk was good in Washington, obviously, before going to Minnesota. And then, yes, the Niners are the best example ever. Number 3 overall pick and Mr. Irrelevant, And who was starting in a Super Bowl for him this year? Mr. Irrelevant.
Yep, that's absolutely right. All right, we're going to tell you what we like tonight with the Nuggets and the Avalanche. Avs at 6 against the Wild. Nugs at 8 against the Clippers. Both teams on the road. But I saw this morning, Will, and I'm biased. I'll tell you that right now. I love Nikola Jokic. I think he's the greatest basketball player that this city has ever seen. And
well, it's not even close.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
And I will defend him forever because of my feelings for Nikola Jokic. So when I see somebody like Gilbert Arenas on Uncle Shannon's podcast, old Shay Shay's podcast, spewing the nonsense he's about to spew, I get angry. I get defensive. And I want to yell mean things at the person saying it. So let's take a listen to Gilbert Arenas spewing nonsense about Nikola Jokic.
Jokic is probably statistically, when it comes to overall game, the worst MVP winner. He is the worst MVP winner in the last 40 years. Why you say that? When you're talking about MVP, the guys outside of first and second place, their teams was first and second place. The people who won the MVP, their teams was first and second. When Jordan won it, his team record, they were seventh in the NBA. That year, he averaged 35-6-5, three steals. All-star MVP, defensive player of the year, scoring title, steals leader. That was the MVP. Historic year. Makes sense, right? That makes sense. When Westbrook won it, his team had the 10th best record. Triple-double.
First time since Oscar Robertson.
He did something amazing. His team was 10th, but he did something that wasn't done since Oscar Robertson. When Jokic, in 2021, Jokic's team was 5th. He averaged 26-8-10.
Okay, a couple of things here, Will. First of all, we played the audio for you. If you find this, it's actually on my Twitter, at Joshua Dover, that I shared. He's referencing notes. He keeps looking down at notes that clearly he didn't write the notes. If I write my own notes and I'm going to go talk about it, I do it every day, Will. I don't stutter and stumble. Well, I guess sometimes I do. But he's clearly referencing somebody else's notes. He's also off on a couple of things here. And I'm going to correct you, Mr. Arenas.
Go for it.
He talked about them not being a first-place team. Well, Gilbert, can I call you Gilbert? They were a first-place team last year. And the chump, the clown that is Kendrick Perkins, went out of his way to turn it into a race thing rather than a on-the-court battle, and Nikola lost his MVP that's rightfully his because Joel Embiid is actually the worst MVP in the last 40 years. So you're wrong on that front, Mr. Arenas. Let me tell you another thing you screwed up on. Do your homework, or perhaps maybe the person writing your notes for you should do the homework better. In 2021, when he referenced them not being a top team in the Western Conference, Nikola that year, you want to talk about history, Gilbert? That year did something that no NBA player has ever done in the history of the NBA. When he scored 2,000 points, he grabbed over 1,000 rebounds, and he dished out over 500 assists. MJ never did that, Gilbert. LeBron never did that, Gilbert. It is so tired and played out that these people, these Gilbert Arenases, will get on a platform as big as the Shannon Sharp podcast and spew this nonsense without anybody fact-checking them or telling them how wrong they are in real time. And it happens all the time, but it makes me mad when it's about our guy in Nikola Jokic. Give this man his flowers. Gilbert, you might be the only person left on planet Earth refusing to give Nikola Jokic his flowers. You sound ignorant. You sound ridiculous, and you should go back to being King Josiah's sidekick, because that's the only thing you're ever going to be good at in your entire life.
Oh, great rant, my friend. You said it all right there. I mean, I just kind of want to play the Billy Madison, everyone in this room is now dumber after listening to Gilbert Arenas, because that's what we all are. I mean, it's just uneducated. This is the same guy who's, you know, pulling out guns on airplanes when his gambling doesn't go right. So, yeah. Guy's a freaking clown. That's what he is. He made a clown statement today. He's getting some attention for it. He had a nice NBA career at one point, but he really lit that on fire with his inexcusable actions off the court, and now he's desperate for attention, apparently. So, yeah, Gilbert Arenas, get bent. You're now on my list, and hope nothing good comes to you, my friend.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable that anybody at this point in his career of who he is, they won the championship a year ago, and they kicked everybody's butts on the way to doing it. What else does Nikola have to do for people like this to understand his greatness?
And I love Uncle Shannon. We love Shannon Sharp. He's a Broncos hero in this town. He's one of my all-time favorite media personalities. It's his podcast. He let Gilbert talk for too long. Yep. Shannon should have gotten in there and just, dude, you're reading notes. You're spewing nonsense. You're trying to be Kendrick Perkins. You're looking for clicks here. Don't do that stuff on my podcast. So that would have been the one thing I would have liked if Shannon would have done and just sort of shut this down, because not everyone needs a microphone when they're just going to start spewing nonsense, and that's what Gilbert was spewing.
Yeah, made me fired up. How do you think about it there, Nuggets fans? It's a great text. Derrick Rose was one of the worst MVPs. I actually have it in front of me, Will. You want to go back 40 years? Back to 1984, where Larry Bird was in the mix of winning three straight. I'm not ready to put Nikola over Larry Bird. He's got some work to do. Magic Johnson was an MVP after that. I'm not ready to put Nikola over Magic. He's got some work to do. You get to the Michael Jordans. All right, probably not ready for that either. He's the greatest of all time. But go to 1993. Charles Barkley? Now, we love some Chuck. Nikola Jokic is a better basketball player right now than Charles Barkley was ever in his entire career.
Absolutely.
So there's one. David Robinson was an MVP a couple of years later in 94-95. The Admiral's great. Great story. Serve the country. Appreciate you, man. Not a better basketball player than Nikola Jokic. We've got to two now, Gilbert. Let's go to 96 and 97. Karl Malone, who's a two-time MVP winner. Great player. Real bad person off the court. But he ain't better than Nikola Jokic. So there's three that we get to. The Allen Iversons, great player, could score and get buckets on anybody in the world. He's not a better basketball player than Nikola Jokic is. So we get to a few of these. Derrick Rose, as the texter mentioned, not a better basketball player than Nikola Jokic. Russell Westbrook, all right, historically averaged a triple-double. That's a hell of a year. Not a better basketball player than Nikola Jokic. James Harden, recently, not a better basketball player than Nikola Jokic. And Joel Embiid, the beef has ended a bit, but he's still not a better basketball player than Nikola Jokic. I just named 6-7 guys that Gilbert didn't even go to Wikipedia.com, Will, and look at MVPs to figure out how ridiculous he sounded.
Yeah, it's just, again, this to me is that fine line of how much attention do we give this guy, right? Because if you say stupid things, you want attention. And that's what Gilbert is earning himself today. So, yes, we have to call him out because people are hearing this, but we also just want to tell Gilbert Arenas to go away. We don't care about what you think, Gilbert Arenas, and I hope he never gets invited back on another big podcast, because when you say stuff like this, you're kind of telling on yourself a little bit that you are uneducated, yeah. And that's what Gilbert Arenas looks like.
That's exactly right. All right, I feel better that I was able to share that.
No, it was a good rant. You'd been teasing it for a while, so I'm glad you got it out of your system.
Get it off my chest a little bit. Will, what do we want tonight? Ball Arena Bros, both in action. Abs, Wild, coming up at 6 o'clock. Nugs, Clippers, coming up at 8 o'clock. That'll start a little bit later because it's the second half of a TNT game. You know what kind of stinks, Will? I always enjoyed the Avs-Wild rivalry. It's so fun, right? Both the fan bases are really good. They're both hockey communities. It's died down a little bit because the Wild aren't as good, or they're not in the mode that the Avs are with Cup or Bust right now. But I'm a little disappointed that tonight just, it's not the same. It doesn't feel the same that it normally feels for me.
Yeah, and I think the reason that it is lost some of the spice is they haven't met in the playoffs in a little bit of time. The Wild aren't very good. They're pulling their goalie in overtime to try to get a second point and then getting themselves no points because little-known NHL rule, if you pull your goalie in OT, you don't get that point anymore. So, yeah, man, I mean, it's a little bit of a bummer, but you'd rather be on the side of, hey, we're winning cups, and it's no longer a rivalry because we've passed you. I mean, why did Broncos and Chiefs lose its luster? Because Kansas City won every single game until this past year when then Sean Payton tried to bench Russell Wilson. Different story for a different day, but the Broncos and Chiefs wasn't a rivalry anymore because Kansas City won 16 in a row. Avs and Wild losing a little bit of its spice because the Avs are a cup contender and the Wild will be playing golf in a couple of weeks.
This KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. Yeah, it's just a little sad that it doesn't mean the same. I like the Avalanche to handle business with Annan in net tonight. I like Nate to find the score sheet a couple of times. And then on the other side of this with the Nuggets, he's questionable still. Jamal Murray, what do you think it looks like come tip-off time? Is 27 on the court?
No, I don't think he's going to play tonight. Michael Malone and some of those pregame media availabilities the last few days, as reporters have asked, like, hey, is he playing? And I'm paraphrasing, but he said something like, oh, no, of course not. Jamal's out again. Like, he's almost acting like, why are you guys even asking me? Like, of course he's out. And my retort to that would be, well, coach, you've listed him as questionable all six times, so yeah. Reporters just doing their job. They're just asking, but... No, I don't even know if Jamal got on that plane to L.A. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes on these one-off road trips, if guys aren't going to play, they don't even get on the team plane. So I would be surprised if Jamal Murray plays. I'd be surprised if he's even in the building. That said, Josh, they got six left. Let's get him out there for like the last two or three. Get some minutes on the court, back into a groove before the playoffs start. Rest versus rust comes into play. I don't want him out there round one, game one, not having played in a month.
Yeah. That's very well said. I think my eyes are on tonight and then that game against Minnesota that comes in 6 days from right now. You know, maybe you get them in the final couple of home games. Minnesota is that final home game for, take care of your hometown fans that have been so supportive for these teams over the last few years.
Well, and it could be for the one seed. I mean, that game literally could be for the one seed against Minnesota.
Yeah, think about OKC. They're in a tough stretch here. I looked at their final schedule. It's not crazy, but they're on an East Coast swing now. Joel beats them in his first game back for the Sixers, and then they got smoked by the Boston Celtics last night. So
no SGA, to be fair, but
yeah,
yes.
He's got a quad or a thigh or something.
Yeah,
he's
but
dealing with.
Once SGA was out, it was like, oh, okay, this is good for the Nuggets. They're gonna get past Oklahoma City tonight. But I also guarantee you that the Lakers, the Warriors, and the Suns are all praying they get to play Oklahoma City in the first round.
Yeah.
Not because they're not good, but because they haven't learned how to lose yet. Mm-hmm. And teams have to learn how to lose in the NBA. Put it this way, Josh. Suns Thunder, round one, I'm taking the Suns. Lakers Thunder, round one, I'm taking the Lakers. Warriors Thunder, round one, I'm taking the Warriors. I would take the veteran team over OKC in all three series.
I'm with you on that. And you know what we do on this program? It's the triple-double council here.
Okay.
Tonight, for Nikola Jokic, do you think he achieves the triple-double? He was dominant in the last one, just no one could make a dang shot when he passed him. So he was stuck on six assists for what felt like 6 hours, even though the games were only 2.5. Does he get to that triple-double this evening?
I'll channel my inner Brandon Stokley. None of these guys are making shots. How's he supposed to get 10 assists if these guys can't make shots?
He gets so mad, dude.
A little Twitter meltdown the other night about guys not being able to make shots. So... I will say no. He comes up just short tonight, but that doesn't mean he's not going to be great. I think with that Jamal out of the lineup, he's got to look to score more. Give me the Joker having like 32, 13, and 8 tonight.
Okay.
Something like that. It's still going to be a big, big game, but in all seriousness, I think Stokes on to something. Getting to 10 assists without Jamal Murray on the floor, that's a tricky task.
Isn't it weird, too, that it's almost, I feel like this season, the pendulum is swaying of Nikola's triple-double always relied upon rebounds, it felt like. Like, battling for rebounds, trying to fight Mike sometimes, Porter Jr. for him. And now we're over talking about it's the assist category that he's always trying to make sure you're ensuring the ninth and the tenth assist. And you get to 8 by the third quarter, middle of the third quarter, you're feeling real good about it. But it's been the assists that have kind of eluded him as of late.
Well, and you're right. To some extent, it's out of his control. And Stokely's right. I mean, we can laugh at Stokley, but he's not wrong. Jokic can throw the ball over his head between his legs and create a wide-open three, and if the ball rims out, if it bricks out, he's not going to get the assist. He's not going to get the triple-double. Mm-hmm. So to a large extent, he can obviously control the points. He can control the rebounds. He can't control if Reggie Jackson goes 1-for-9 from three.
Yep. That is it. We will be here tomorrow. In fact, we won't be here. We'll be over at El Patio in Denver, right across from Coors Field, starting at 10 a.m., getting you ready for the game. We got a sweet prize to give away, but you have to be on site at El Patio Denver to know what it is, how you win it, and then hopefully it's you walking away with it. So come see us tomorrow at El Patio. We'll be there. Zach and Phil will be there. They're going to keep the party rolling through 6 p.m., and they are here right now. Gentlemen, what's up, boys?
What's up? How we doing?
We're doing good, man. I just got to roast Gilbert Arenas a little bit, so I'm feeling good, too.
Oh, man. You want to know what? I've kind of gone back and forth
weather to do that today.
Really?
Because I want to. I want to put him on a crucifix and just absolutely just whip him. But, you know, I don't know if I want to give him the energy either.
That's what Will was saying.
We just went down this road of like, clown behavior doesn't deserve to be rewarded sometime. Because you know what he ordered? A side of attention. Should we give him that side of attention?
I'll leave it up to Phil because I used to love watching and I loved watching Gilbert Arenas play.
Yeah,
he was a fantastic scorer, man. He had a stretch of like 4 to 5 years where you remember what his nickname was? You guys remember what
Agent
his nickname?
Zero.
Well, Agent Zero. He used to call himself Hibachi.
That's right.
Because it just heat up so quick. He was the man. But he's, you know, a lot of these guys, they go into the media space, and the way that they're going to get their podcast on someone's radar, it's just going to say wild stuff. And, you know, he totally disrespected Jokic. And I don't know. I'll leave it up to Phil if we're going to do it later in the show. But, yeah, he was wild for that one. And he's getting dragged a little bit online.
Oh, he is? Good. Yeah. I haven't been on Twitter a lot.
I mean, that's probably what
today.
He wanted, though. You know, well, sometimes to stay relevant. Yeah. Stay relevant, you got to do crazy things.
Yeah.
Yeah, like pulling a gun during a poker game on a team plane. Oh, wait, Gilbert Arenas did that too.
That was Gilbert Arenas.
You got thousands and thousands of dollars on the line. No one wants to pay you. I think we're going to pull it out too. Maybe his water gun. Give me my money.
Wow. All right, you guys have a good day.
Oh, my gosh. I heard you guys, you had Mike on, Mike Kliss. I heard you guys talk a little bit about the quarterback spot and kind of going around the Denver sports scene. What do you guys thought was your favorite topic today? Over the last 4 hours,
I really liked our topic with Mike. We went through his mock and then asked him about it. Of Mike has the Broncos bringing two quarterbacks home in the 2024 draft early, be it 12 or whatever their first pick ends up being. He has them taking a Bo Nix or a Penix type, and then has them taking a flyer later on in a fifth round where the Broncos have three picks. Of a Michael Pratt or a Spencer Rattler or one of these secondary tier of quarterbacks. And it's something that, I don't know, Will, I won't speak for you, but I hadn't really considered yet. But reading the idea, talking it out with Will, I love the idea.
Well, if the cupboard is that bare, sometimes you have to restock it. And it's unconventional to take two QBs in one draft. I get it.
Yeah.
But when your room is Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci, maybe taking two isn't a bad idea. A couple recent examples, RG3 and Kirk Cousins in Washington.
Yeah.
And, of course, Brock Purdy and Trey Lance in San Francisco. In both cases, the later pick worked out better than the higher pick. It's not the worst idea in the world to take a quarterback in the first and the fifth in this draft.
Well, what just came to my mind is a couple former teammates of Phil's, and it's not the same draft, but they took Trevor Siemian in the seventh round. Or was that the same draft? Was it the 16 draft where they took Paxton in the first round?
You might be right.
And then they took Trevor late, or was Trevor the class of 2017? I don't quite remember.
But no, because Trevor has a ring. So Trevor was 15.
Okay, so he was on the team. So he was Brock's, so he was a third string?
He was third string.
For the 15 team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, I think Will's just learned something new right now. I didn't quite realize that he was on that team.
Yeah, Trev's older than we think.
Yeah.
They picked Trev in the seventh round of 2015, Paxton in the first round of 2016, and then that experience, and then actually Chad Kelly in the next year in round 7.
Because it's a James Merrillat special. Trevor Siemian took the knee in Pittsburgh when Peyton was hurt, and Brock Osweiler played against the Steelers, and Siemian took a knee during the Super Bowl year, that game up in Pittsburgh, to end the first half. And James always said, your plan after winning a Super Bowl was a quarterback who took one knee the previous season.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Trev was on the squad. Trev's got some hardware.
Okay, so I had it flipped in my head. I had Trev coming here the year after Paxton. But, yeah, it's just investing in the position. I mean, it's so important. It's so important that taking two is not the worst idea. The only problem is you don't have a ton of picks and there is so many holes. And it's like, you know, could you take a flyer on a linebacker or a tackle or whatever in the third or fourth round as opposed to like a Michael Pratt or a Spencer Rattler? But gosh, I don't hate the idea.
Yeah, see, I'm not really in on this idea because, one, I think Sean's all in with the Jarrett Stidham. I don't think he's going anywhere. He may not start or maybe not be our starter, but there's something about Jarrett Stidham that Sean likes. Okay, second of all, if you go and you draft the first-round quarterback, you're not going to have another quarterback in that draft that's going to compete with him right now. It's going to be that first-round quarterback and Jarrett Stidham. That's what they want. I don't see him going out. They only got 6 or 8 picks now.
Yeah, 8 now.
Eight picks. all right, you have a whole bunch of holes to fill. You end up getting a first-round quarterback is what we're thinking. Jared Stidham still got a little bit more money than we're thinking.
Yeah.
And now it's like we're not going to add someone like Spencer Rattler just to add him.
Interesting thought. And it just depends on how bullish on Stidham Sean actually is.
Yeah.
You know, could that steer a draft night choice? What would be a position that you would want to throw something at your TV?
Anybody on the defensive side of the ball.
Really?
Any player on the defensive side of the ball.
What about like an edge rusher?
Any player on the defensive side of the ball.
Why though? Because defense wins championships.
Really?
They do.
How many games have they won for the Broncos in the last 8 years?
But our defense hasn't been superb.
It's been better than the offense.
Yeah, but you still have to have offense. The Broncos, if you're going to get to, well, I'm not going to say that because the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning wasn't a good offense when they won that Super Bowl.
But you just said the magic word, Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
But I mean, do the Broncos have a bona fide edge rusher? See, and the reason I'm giving you pushback on that is because I think edge rusher is one of the five most important positions in football.
I agree with you.
And I don't believe there's some nice pieces that maybe you could forecast, but there's not. I mean, when's the last time the Broncos had a 10-sack guy?
It's the
Chubb 3 or 4 years ago, maybe. Yeah, I don't know the answer. Dude, is this a trivia question or are you thinking out loud here?
No, I'm thinking out loud.
Yeah, I mean,
Chubb's first year, I think he had, you know, 12 and a half sacks.
Yeah, I think he's first.
I don't think he ever led the team in sacks after that.
The year that Chubb ended up getting the Pro Bowl,
Malik Reed
led the team in team in sacks.
Wow. Yeah.
This may be just my football philosophy. Offense means more than defense to me. And quarterback is obviously the most important position in all of sports. So it's as great as Patrick Surtain is. And we talked about this today. His skill set, it's weird to say it doesn't matter. But it doesn't have an impact on the game the way it should or could if this team had a quarterback on the roster.
Yeah. Offense means more in the regular season. In the postseason, if you want to go for the playoffs and championship, you got to have a defense.
I'd like to get to the dance at this point. Can I get a ticket to the dance, please? Let's take some baby steps.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking about hold on real quick. Okay, take away quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end would probably be the next biggest need on offense,
agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
What next position on offense would the Broncos need more than an edge rusher in the first round after quarterback and tight end?
Okay. I don't know that it's more than, but they do need wide receiver help as well.
They do.
But okay. I'm not sure I can give you the more than.
Yeah.
So it might be quarterback, tight end, defense.
Okay.
But I'm talking about like the fourth round now. We're into the fourth round.
But this defense needs some work. Needs some safety help, need linebacker help, need edge rusher help, need D-line help.
They got to stop the run this year.
Well, by the way, real quick, I've got your answer. The Broncos have not had 10 sacks in a season. Guess the year.
So 2018?
Correct.
Chubb
and Vaughn.
Vaughn had 14 and a half, and Chubb had 12.
Yeah.
But after that, they haven't. 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023.
Wild.
It's been five full seasons without a player with 10 sacks.
So how about this? So how about this? We're stumbling across this. And it's got to do with my co-host, too. So the Broncos haven't had a 10-sack guy since 2018 and haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since 2019.
When Phil did it?
Yeah. Philip Lindsay's the last 1,000-yard rusher.
Hey, that's what happens when you put bad juju out there, right? when they mess with you.
I mean, think about
when you
that.
You mess with a bull, you get the horn.
You need a shirt. Like, we should get a shirt for Phil that says, the Broncos haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since me.
Just like the two
and
thumbs.
You wear that every day.
But
yeah,
think about that. How sad is that?
Well, when's the last time we had a 1,000-yard receiver? Because Cortland was the last one, right?
Yes,
Cortland
that was 2019.
Both years, yeah.
So you can throw that in there, too.
So haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since 2019, haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since 2019, haven't had a 10-sack guy since 2018. This is how you get here.
Yeah.
This is how you end up here.
You're right, man.
Goodness. All right.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
Nice shirt, dude.
Thanks, man.
That is some nice work right there.
This is it's the shirt of, this is Coco Beware, the Birdman.
Heck yeah.
From the 80s and 90s, professional wrestler. Yeah. That was my old nickname in college.
Coco Beware?
In high school, Birdman. And John Davis bought me this shirt in like 2019.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just like a random gift.
That's cool.
All right, thanks for staying, fellas. Look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow at El Patio downtown. It is going to be an absolute scene. You got to come say hello. But there's a big question just hanging out there in Denver sports, and it's getting larger by the day. That's where we'll start coming up next.